welcome in again to the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harland. I am your co-host, Brian Brown, and as always, Mike and I are coming to you today from the beautiful, historic, and majestic, and today, beautifully adorned BB McKinney Studios. Mike, I know it's because of our special guest. I missed the last podcast, and I hated to miss that because we really have a treat today having him back the second time. Dr. Tom Rainer, New York Times bestselling author, a well-known blogger, probably more pastors follow his blog than maybe any other blog on the internet. And more important to us personally, Mike, he's our boss. So that's, I guess, why the studio looks so nice today. And we're just excited. I mean, I'm excited particularly to be here today with both of you and hear what Dr. Rainer has to say to us.
Thanks, Brian. And it is great to be in the historic B.B. McKinney Studios here in downtown Nashville, Tennessee. And very soon, these studios are going to move a few blocks because the headquarters of Lifeway are going to move.
Yes, that's right. We are moving. I kind of forgot about
that. We're in part two today with the president and CEO of Lifeway, Dr. Tom Rainer. And Dr. Rainer, thanks for hanging around and giving us another opportunity to talk to you about some
things. Like I said last week, Mike, you're the rock star. And so I'm just in awe of you and being with you. Is this really the B.B. McKinney Studio?
You know, this is a kind of a running joke that Brian started this when we first started the podcast a little over 2 years ago. He just spontaneously one day named it the historic B.B. McKinney Studios. So
we got to start doing that in Rainer Leadership Podcast, too. Not B.B. McKinney.
You want to do like the James Marion Frost tomb or something like that. Whatever. But what's funny is I mean, sometimes he goes into these big descriptions of how this majestic whatever, and sometimes we're in a closet when we're doing it. But wherever we are, it's kind of like Air Force One is just a plane that the president is on, you know?
Yes.
So wherever our podcast is the B.B. McKinney Studio. So
it's a lovely studio.
Isn't it beautiful?
I love
looks a lot like a conference room, doesn't it?
It's a really nice place.
Well, Dr. Rainer, last time we talked about trends that you see in churches. We talked about relationships between pastors and worship leaders. We talked about the CSB and that exciting translation that's just been released from Lifeway. Mm-hmm. And today I want to kind of shift the focus and talk more about your personal ministry. I know we've been talking generally about Lifeway, but you have been consulting and advising churches for a long time.
Which means I'm old.
I'm not saying you're old.
Yes, it does.
But I'm just saying that you were doing that long before you came to Lifeway.
I was.
So can you give us the backstory there? What was it? You were at Southern Seminary.
That was before Southern Seminary.
What was it that got you into this ministry of helping church leaders do church?
Very simple answer. It may take a few sentences, but in 1988, I had just received my PhD from Southern Seminary. It was in a practical ministry area, so a local pastor in St. Petersburg, where I was serving as pastor, called me up and said, "I hear you have a PhD. I need some help." I'm thinking, dude, you don't know this degree. That can't help anybody. But he asked me to come over and do a little help, which later became consultation. And for whatever reason, the advice did well. And he told someone who told someone who told someone.
Wow.
And so that was the beginning of my consultation ministry. The story of my writing my first book, 1989, I don't want to bore your audience too much, but no publisher would accept my book. None. And so,
not even Lifeway.
I won't.
Oh,
go.
I'm sorry. I brought that up.
I won't even go there. what I did was I had a connection to Billy Graham, and so I ended up going to Billy Graham and got to him to write a foreword to my book. A few publishers wanted to publish me just because they wanted a foreword with Billy Graham.
Wow.
So that was the beginning of my writing ministry back in 1989. And I don't know, 27, 28 books later, it started with nobody wanting me to today. They can't refuse me because I'm the president of the organization
exactly.
that publishes the book. Doesn't matter how bad it is. They got to publish me one way or the other.
So you're saying if I wanted to become a recording artist or, you know, I need to buy a studio.
Exactly. Be head of the studio. They're not going to turn you down.
Well, you have written a lot of books, and I want to talk about one or two of them, and then I really would love for the audience to know what's cooking right now. But
sure.
But a book that you and my vice president, Eric Geiger, wrote together, very impactful book. I remember when I was on staff and that book came out, we read that book together as a staff at the church where I was serving. And I think there are probably a lot of guys out there that could say the same thing. And the book was Simple Church. Mm-hmm. And it's still a book that people quote, that people read, reread. The impact of that book, I have no idea how many copies it sold, but it's more than a few. And one of the most impactful books in church leadership probably of the last 20 years. So in a nutshell, give us just that elevator pitch of what the simple church idea is really all about. I mean, the book goes into much more detail than you could ever do in this, but give us the simple church elevator speech.
Here's the concept. Someone walks into your church and says, I want to become a closer follower of Christ. I know that I can read my Bible. I know that I can have quiet prayer time. But what can I do in the church to become a more effective disciple of Christ? Simple Church answered that.
How about
that? It was a process of discipleship. The original name that Eric put on the book was Process-Driven Church.
Huh.
That was right after Purpose-Driven Church.
Yeah.
I said, no, Eric, that's
too close.
That's not going to work. So working with the publisher at the time, we changed the name to Simple Church. The whole concept behind it is to simplify everything so that you can see the process of discipleship. Where the problem took place is on that last phase of the clarity, alignment, movement that then became focus. Focus means focus on those things that matter and eliminate everything else. Well, too many leaders hung on to that eliminate everything else and used it as a hammer to beat over the metaphorical head of ministry leaders and say, Rainer and Geiger say we need to eliminate this. And so there was the elimination of choirs and there were the elimination of programs and ministries. That was not the thesis of the book.
No.
When we wrote the revision to it, we addressed that issue.
Yeah.
And so we don't hear it nearly as much. But one of the unintended consequences of Simple Church was a negative unintended consequence that elimination and getting rid of things became the thesis in the minds of many people instead of having a clear process of discipleship.
Yeah, and I'll tell you how it helped me. I mean, there's no question that the Simple Church message was helpful in my life and shaping in me, because I began to understand as I read Simple Church, read other books, that that I was called to make disciples, that I wasn't called to make music. And that sounds like a semantics, and maybe that
no, it's not.
But you're going to hit the target you aim for. And as a ministry leader, when I began to realize that I was a disciple maker first, and the choices I made in music ministry needed to be part of a disciple making larger vision that the entire church embodied, and when I began to think of my ministry in that form, is when my choirs became less threatening to the rest of the pastor and the rest of the staff. The way I've come to understand it, and I've probably said something like this on your podcast, but when I realized what I was doing was part of the larger vision strategy, and when my pastors and co-workers on staff saw me part of their mission too, is when my choirs suddenly weren't as threatening and weren't as difficult for them to understand.
For those who know Simple Church, that's the alignment phase.
Yeah, exactly.
Where everyone is aligning together with the same purpose and the same process.
And my challenge to ministry leaders in their music is make sure your ministry is in the disciple-making process. Because if it is...
Yeah, I love that.
Because if it is, your pastors, your co-workers, they're going to be understanding and supportive of the needs you have in budget, the needs you have with the calendar, the needs you have to serve the people in your ministry, because they're going to see your ministry as part of their solution to what God's called you all to do. So
I love it.
So Simple Church was part of that journey for me, and I'm very grateful for the impact of that book.
Thanks, Mike.
Now, 29 of them, so we won't talk about them all, but give us one or two others that, when you think about all of the books you've written, are the ones that you think maybe be the ones that helped you develop as you were writing and clarify your own message about church leadership. What are one or two other titles that stand out to you?
Quickly, the one that would be the bestseller, and I'm talking about 1.2 million copies of I Am a Church Member.
Yes.
The fact that I wrote a blog post at midnight the day before the blog was due, and I just threw out this 500, 400-word blog post, I Am a Church Member, and it went viral. So I said, maybe I ought to write a little book about it. And now 1.2, 1.3 million books later, what it told me is that we have too many church members who don't understand what membership is. We think membership is signing a card, filling out, or walking an aisle or raising a hand. Membership is 1 Corinthians 12, to be a part of the body of Christ. If you're part of the body of Christ, you're going to be contributing, you're going to be serving, you're going to be sacrificing. And I did not really understand how that message resonated not only with leaders but with church members as well. So that is one. That's not my favorite one though. My favorite one is one of my lowest selling ones.
Really?
Yeah. It's a book called Raising Dad.
Hmm. And you wrote that with Art? Is that right?
Uh-huh. Yep. Co-authored with my middle son, Art. It was his idea, and I don't want to say it was a bad selling book because Art would be very offended. It was not, but it was out of my genre, but I still absolutely loved it. It was a book written from the perspective of the son about what his dad did raising him. And so he would write and I would respond. He would write and I would respond.
Wow.
Still my favorite book to this day. Mm. And I've co-authored a few books with my sons, but the opportunity to talk about parenting with a son from his perspective on the good, the bad, and the ugly of me as a dad was just absolutely incredible. So I treasured that time together.
Well, that gives me a great opportunity to segue into a final area I wanted to talk with you about, but I don't want to get there yet. So I'm going to ask you this, just for the folks out there that you influence in blogs and podcasts and the books you've written, what are you working on right now that you can share with us, we can look for in the future?
I couldn't have told you until yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I just had a meeting with B&H. And I'm going to be doing something different than I've ever done before. I'm going to be writing two books that will be released simultaneously.
Really?
I think that's all I'm going to say at this point. But it will have two different audiences, but it will be used for similar purposes with the two different audiences. Hmm. And so this actually was B&H's idea.
Hmm.
I had one of the books the idea. They said, what about this as a complimentary book, not a companion book? So I think this is going to help churches a lot in the area of hospitality.
Oh.
And the area of inviting. And so we'll just wait and see. But the opportunity to write, because I tend to write small books now.
Mm.
And that really is something that I have enjoyed doing. And so the opportunity to write two books, and B&H has graciously said, you know, you can have 45 days to write those two books. So I said, that's plenty of time. I get it done.
Well, now, your influence as an author goes beyond just the books you write, though, and I'm going to give an example of that. I think about your friendship and relationship that you've developed with Keith and Kristen Getty.
Yeah.
And a lot of people may not have had any idea that Tom Rainer and Keith Getty go to dinner together occasionally, but you've been really close to Keith and Kristen, been a big supporter of their ministry, really helped facilitate many of the conversations we have with the Gettys today. And there's a book coming from them later this year that we could not be more thrilled about. And I have a sneaking suspicion that Tom Rainer was somewhere in the background talking to Keith about getting a book and doing these kind of things, probably influencing him more than
I never
world.
Know, because when Keith responds to me, I don't understand him. It's that brogue that I...
Well, I've got to tell the folks out there, this book is going to be about congregational singing.
Sing.
It's going to be an amazing resource for church leaders, really, really helping understand why singing is an important part of the body.
And Mike, though you mentioned it in last week's podcast, I'll just add this addendum when we're talking about things that are happening in the worship ministry that I'm seeing from a leadership perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The issue of congregational singing is huge right
now.
Yes, it is. And that is a question that is being asked in different forms by both worship leaders and the pastor.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that the Gettys are coming along and addressing this
issue.
I'm
excited about it. And their Sing event, we're really involved in that as well. I'm part of that event. It's going to happen later this year. So we're really excited about our partnership with the Gettys. Can I share a bucket list thing for me?
Yeah. You always do.
It's self-serving. It's someday, when it's on your heart, I want to write a book with you about worship.
Okay.
So when you're ready to talk about that, I'm ready to do it. So I just threw that out there.
That
the worship
great.
Guru. We could just, no, anyway. We
yeah,
won't
we
that.
Could call it Mike and Tom.
Tom and Jerry. Okay, one more subject, because I couldn't have you come into our studios without asking you this. One of the things I admire about you so much, I've watched this for 12 years that I've known you personally. I've gotten to know your sons, have been around them. I know your wife, Nellie Jo. I've seen those beautiful grandchildren. But family is a big part of Tom Rainer's life. You're president and CEO of the largest Christian resource company in the world. And yet, if anybody spends more than 10 minutes with you, they're going to hear something about one of those boys or one of those daughters-in-law or one of those grandchildren. Talk to us about your journey in ministry and in academics. You were at Southern Seminary as a dean. and all of your work as a consultant of churches and the books you've written, but all along the way, this common thread of your family. Talk about that.
Well, the first thing I would say, Mike, is there's been a lot of failure. You probably anticipate me talking about all the wonderful things I've done to have such a wonderful family. I can tell you many occasions when I was a student at Southern Seminary, taking 15 hours of class, studying 30 hours, so that's 45 hours, working at a bank for 30 hours a week, and then pastoring a small church on top of that, where I was guilty of woeful neglect of my sons and of my wife. So my story is not always the prettiest story in the world, but my boys will tell you this, and so I will let them speak instead of me speaking for them. They said there are two things that they always heard from me: I love you, and I'm proud of you. And so that I think got them through a lot of things. Now the real secret is marry well, and Nellie Jo is a godly, submissive woman when I listen to her real carefully. And she has told me many, many times, you're neglecting the family. And so she would open my eyes and my heart to the fact that I was too involved in the things of Tom instead of the more important things, which are the things of family. And so, yeah, you're going to hear me talking about Sam, Art, and Jess, and even though they're 36, 34, and 31, respectfully, they're still my boys, and they copied me. They married over their heads. They married incredible girls, and then they went therefore and multiplied. And they've given me a lot of grandchildren, and I used to complain about not having enough. And if you boys and girls are listening to me, you Rainer boys and girls, we got plenty. If you're ready to stop, I'm blessed.
Christmas shopping's getting a little out of hand.
Oh, just last week we were in Florida together. All I don't know how many grandchildren I have. 28. I think I have 9, 10 grandchildren. All the grandchildren, the daughters-in-law, and Nellie Jo and me, and the boys, all in one place.
Yeah.
For a week.
That was a lively bunch. Well, Art is there at Southeastern Seminary.
He's vice president at Southeastern Seminary. Has been there about. Sam's a pastor in Bradenton, Florida. And Jess is a pastor in Spring Hill, Tennessee.
Yeah, so that's an amazing ministry legacy that you have with those three boys.
They all are finance majors at different universities. They all started out in banking at different banks.
And they're all up in ministry,
which is the same path I took.
That's exactly the path you took. And, I've noticed from Art, I follow your boys on social media, kind of reading what they're writing about. And Art has really come out with a lot of things around finances and around stewardship, how to manage your money well and steward your money well. And I'm seeing more and more coming from
Art. You need to be looking for Art's book, be released by B&H in late May, I think.
Yeah.
It's called The Money Challenge. Mm. And it's a 30-day challenge for families to get their finances in order. But it's a beautiful story that is woven through it. So you'll like
Dr. Rainer, at the risk of going somewhere maybe you don't want to go, but you've told me I could ask anything.
Sure.
Watching your family walk through something really, really difficult. Several years ago, one of your sons had a child that lived a very short time.
Right.
And you walked through, and y'all knew that was coming.
Well, we knew it was coming 3 days before it happened.
3 days before.
Yeah.
But those moments, I mean, so often a family like yours, you're in ministry and high profile responsibility in the SBC. This son's a pastor, that one's at the seminary and all. And so your family doesn't go through hurt. Your family doesn't have difficulty. But gosh, that's where your family really.
Yeah, to see Jess, my son, and Rachel, his wife, go through that was, Mike, as a parent, you can identify. It's painful to lose a grandchild. Mm. It is painful, though, to watch a child lose a child.
Oh, my. I can't imagine.
And, that was one of the valleys. But at the same time, gosh, God's grace came through. Jess's words still resonate in me because he had fallen on my shoulders and after he came in the hospital waiting room. And I said, "What can I do for you, buddy?" And he said, "Dad, just pray that I will use the death of Will to bring glory to God wherever I go." I mean, you can't ask for anything.
No,
more.
You can't. And from somebody outside watching all of that from a little bit of a distance and yet being aware, very aware of what was happening, Jess did just that. And God did just that, answered that prayer and still answers that prayer. The way you led through that, I think all of us here at Lifeway, we couldn't help you any other way except watch you go through that. And you were teaching and leading all the way through that as well. So,
and you remember Will, who used to be here, he actually composed a song.
Oh, yes, I do remember that. I'd kind of forgotten that, but I do remember that.
He's in the country Christian, or the country genre.
Yeah.
And so he wrote a song about
I do remember
the
that.
Little grandson.
Dr. Rainer, we could go on and on, but I want to respect your time. We're very grateful.
That, no, Mike, it's your time. You are the most valuable person at Lifeway.
Which is the reason I asked you here today. I wanted everybody, I knew that. I just wanted all the audience out there to know that. Oh, man.
I almost had a closing comment, but I'm going to let you wrap it up.
Well, Tom Rainer, President and CEO of Lifeway, I can't imagine what you carry around every day that the rest of us don't know about, but you carry it well.
Thanks, Mike.
And it's a privilege to be on your team.
Well, thanks, Mike, and thank you, Dr. Rainer. What an important topic to talk about, the balance of family and work life. And as always, to our listeners, we want to pray for you. So we want you to email us, worship@lifeway.com, and let us know how to pray for you, particularly the last two podcasts with Dr. Rainer, some of the topics that came up were topics you'd like us to expound on further. Let us know that, worship@lifeway.com. Mike Harlan leads the Lifeway worship staff to pray for you each and every week, each and every day. People are in their offices praying for the churches. So we exist for you. This podcast exists for you. So please talk to us and let us know how we can serve you better. For Dr. Tom Rainer and for Mike Harlan, I'm Brian Brown saying thanks for joining us on the Worship Life podcast. We look forward to being with you again really soon.